Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Joining me now in our visual radio studio for his return appearance, Arvin Trujillo, the new executive director of Four Corners Economic Development. Arvin, good morning. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, Scott.
Welcome back.
Well, thank you.
You came back. I'm always impressed when a guest will come back and talk to me. So I appreciate it very much. I know you're a very busy man, and economic development is a super full-time job here in the Four Corners.
It is. We've got a lot of challenges in front of us. But in a way, that's good, because with challenges come opportunities, and that's what we're looking at here with the Four Corners area.
Right, and it seems like there are a lot of opportunities, and there are a lot of maybe things kind of working together. The timing may be pretty good to make some of these things happen. At least that's in what I'm hoping for.
That's what I'm seeing, because one of the big areas that we're looking at, of course, one of them is looking at our local businesses and looking at how do we help with retention and expansion, but we're also looking at opportunities of recruitment. How do we broaden our economic base? How do we look at bringing new industries or possibly new businesses into the region?
Right, and one of the things I know you were involved with and a lot of other people were involved with not too long ago, in fact, it was probably just last week, was this a conference here in Farmington at San Juan College about internet and broadband connectivity and what more we can do about kind of getting ready for the next, I guess, 5G or the next faster speeds in internet connectivity and things along that line. And that has some definite possibilities for business development and expansion and things along and economic development, right?
It does. It was the New Mexico PRC, the Public Regulatory Commission,
right,
put a conference on, and it was at the Civic Center.
Oh, pardon me.
What they were looking at was rural development. How do we start looking at rural development for broadband and internet services? Because as you're well aware, Scott, with the way things are changing, internet services are becoming more and more like utilities. We utilize them, we need them. Businesses are utilizing more and more, utilizing that service more and more to their advantage in terms of marketing, getting information out to the public. We're doing our actual shopping and our buying through the internet now. And so given that, we're really looking at how do we begin to enhance that capability here in the rural portions of the United States, the Four Corners being one of those areas.
Right. And so I know Congressman Lujan was here for part of this conference, right? And the PRC, very interested, as you said, they are the ones that hosted this to kind of make sure New Mexico is ready for what comes next. And certainly, maybe here in Farmington, here at San Juan College, we're pretty well connected, but in other parts of our state, that's not necessarily the case.
That's very true. And in fact, you know, the college is very well connected, but as you move further and further out from Farmington, that connection is not as strong or as reliable. People look at their phones and they look at the number of their bars.
Right.
And sometimes people ask me the question, why are we so concerned about broadband? I got bars here, so I should be okay.
What's the problem? Yeah.
Well, again, it looks at what can we use for economic development? How can we have that reliability so people can move money back and forth, so businesses can utilize that service to not only market their products, but also exchange money and do it in a safe manner,
right,
so that people have confidence in that capability. And more importantly, we've seen it before where a line gets severed somewhere and suddenly everything shuts down.
Oh, yeah.
People can't use their cards. People can't do any of that. And so, well, again, that's a consequence.
We are so reliant on the internet now that even to make a transaction, to buy something at a store, you can't unless you have cash.
That's true.
And who does that anymore?
Exactly.
Very few. I mean, God bless you, cash people. But for a lot of other folks, it's tough. And even if the register doesn't work, they may not be able to accept your cash either. And so that's kind of what you're talking about.
Yeah, because I've seen that. in places like Winder Rock. I've seen it in places like even Shiprock, where a line goes down, and so they lose internet, and those businesses lose money because people come in with their cards, and they can't utilize their cards, and so most people aren't carrying cash, and so they have to leave the product there and walk out of the store.
Right. And nobody wants that.
No.
Right? So that's the thing. And we have seen that happen, not recently, knock on wood, but in the past we have seen that. And so that redundancy and extra connectivity, if you have more than just one way, if you think of the internet as tubes, which is an old, wrong definition, but more than one connection to the tube, then you have more of a backup and more of a redundancy if something were to happen to that one connection.
That's correct. And that was one of the areas that we were really talking about at the conference, is how do you obtain reliability, high speed, redundancy? How do you have that available to those areas in the rural portions of our nation? And how do you begin to build a system that will allow that to happen? As you indicated, Congressman Ben Ray Lujan was at the conference. We had President Nez from the Navajo Nation also at the conference. We had members of the PRC. We had federal representatives there, as well as state. And a lot of the local internet service providers and some of the utilities were there. And we were all discussing, how do we begin to look at this? What are some of the challenges? And the PRC is really looking at, how do we begin to move forward here within the state of New Mexico?
Right.
But we're carrying it a little bit further here. Forced right now is doing exactly that. We want to see, how do we begin to enhance our broadband capabilities here in the Four Corners region. And so we're looking at developing a coalition or a partnership that would include Southwest Colorado, San Juan County here in New Mexico, as well as the Navajo Nation, to begin that coalition and looking at bringing fiber optic into this portion of the Four Corners area as a start, and then building out from that point.
As a kind of a link or loop of all these communities, by getting them all linked by fiber, and then that would be, certainly we've all heard the benefits of fiber optics, that it contains very high speeds and can have a lot of capacity for a lot of traffic and a lot of bandwidth and all these buzzwords that we hear about with the internet. But that would be the start, I guess, to developing this broader, robust network.
That's correct. What we're looking at is, we've worked with Southwest Colorado, and we're looking at doing some pre-engineering analysis, looking at laying fiber optic from Durango to Cortez down to the Colorado state line. We were able then to get funding from both from San Juan County, as well as the city of Farmington, to continue that study from the New Mexico state line to Shiprock, then from Shiprock to Farmington, Farmington to Aztec, and then back up to the state line, thereby connecting that loop there in fiber optic. And to at this point in time, we do have a line coming from Albuquerque into San Juan County and on into Southwest Colorado. So that would be one aspect of having redundancy. But what we're also looking at in working with Southwest Colorado is, we're looking at enhancing the line, seeing how we may enhance the line from Cortez, Colorado, up to Dove Creek. That would allow connection on up to Grand Junction, which could get us connection to Denver.
And these connections may already be there, but you're talking about a fiber optic connection.
Yes.
And that would make it a lot faster.
It would make it a lot faster. And quite frankly, we don't know what's there.
Mm.
We may already have infrastructure in place, like a conduit,
right,
from which we could go ahead and later fiber optic in, but it may not be utilized and nobody knows about it.
Got it.
And that's what we're finding out right now, is we want to do an assessment that would allow us to find out, what do we actually have in place, and what would it take in order to build this out? And to add to that, from Dove Creek, if there is no line connecting Dove Creek, Colorado, to Monticello, Utah, but if we can get a connection there, that would connect us into the Utah system, which would then be able to take us on up to Salt Lake City. So this fiber optic loop here in the Four Corners, which includes Southwest Colorado, the Navajo Nation by connecting into Shiprock and San Juan County with Farmington and Aztec, would then be able to have redundancy going to Salt Lake, to Denver, and to Albuquerque eventually. And so again, that's kind of the vision that we're looking at with this whole effort to begin to build out, start here with the Four Corners area, then building out. As we build out here, can we then do further, assist the Navajo Nation further, looking at Northeast Arizona? Can we look at Southeast Utah and build middle mile and the last mile piece there to get more connection, as well as Southwest Colorado, which has a very extensive middle mile planning mm-hmm. piece in place, looking at the five counties. But they're looking at how do we get assistance to get that in place, and then looking at our own planning here in New Mexico. How do we start planning this in an effective manner that will help not only enhance the immediate Four Corners area, but look at our areas south of here, the reservation there, and help enhance their broadband capabilities.
Right. And we certainly know that from Southwest Colorado, it is, from an engineering standpoint, it's easier to connect to Albuquerque than it is to try to go over the mountains to get to Denver. I mean, it's certainly a shorter path and a bit more hospitable.
That's correct.
Than having to string fiber optics above ground or below ground or wherever you're doing it from there to Denver.
And right. So you have to hit all those mountain passes if you try to do that.
And exactly. So that's an issue. And I can hear a lot of folks maybe listening to us and watching us this morning, Arvind Trier, saying, well, who cares about fiber optics? I've got wireless. So my phone, as long as I got the bars from the tower, I'm good. I think folks forget, though, that those towers are connected by wires, usually by fiber optics or some other type of old-fashioned technology.
No, it's just like anything else. When you utilize your cell phone, you may have great connection, but at times you start hearing the crackling, or you start losing signal, and things get kind of soft, or you completely lose signal, so you have to call people back. And what do we usually say?
Well, you're using your phone as a phone. That's just crazy talk. I don't know what you're talking about, but all right. I use it to check Facebook, but okay, I hear what you're saying. Yes, sir.
But what do we say at that point? We get back on the line and say, are you near a landline?
Right.
I mean, if sure. we want...
If you're really having an important conversation.
It's an important conversation, that's right. And we really want to have that conversation and stay connected, we ask to have somebody
call back
on a landline,
right.
a line that's connected by wire. Same idea here. We do have wireless capabilities, but at times those become challenged by the weather mm-hmm. or by other things that we, you know, and numerous other things which could be alleviated by having that hard wire connection.
Right.
And again, that's what we're looking at, is that would be a base from which to start from, which then we can build wireless through microwave development. We can do a number of things at that point in time, but
right.
really to have that foundation built on a wired system is much better.
But at some point, all these wireless things still connect to a wired something.
Yeah.
To get back to the main line, right. corridor of whatever it is for all that traffic.
And because, again, you look at the kind of traffic that's happening, all these wireless systems utilize different frequencies, mm-hmm. different bandwidths.
Right.
And what happens when a lot of people jump on on their cell phones?
Right.
It crashes.
That's right. Well, or it just clogs it up and slows everything down.
Or slows everything down.
And as you're saying, if there's a high-speed fiber optic loop between all these communities here in the Four Corners region, that would help maybe dissipate some of that traffic and keep things running a little bit faster.
Right.
And we talked about, you know, how we use the internet for buying things and that type of thing. But industry, I know, uses it as well. And I know we talk a lot about the oil and gas industry, and I think a lot of their technology now is on remote monitoring of some of their well sites and things along that line. And so if you have a faster network, that would help them as well for some of their needs.
Well, you look at that aspect. You look at how this type of system can help not only with industry, but also when you look at it from an industrial side, a lot of things are moving in the monitoring areas and in the actual operational type areas, utilizing the internet to help do that. But you look at other areas, health, telemedicine.
That's right.
Being able to have access to health care, especially when you're in some of the remote areas. As we indicated, we have people who are traveling from Southwest Colorado up to Albuquerque to the Veterans Hospital. To be able to dial in and talk to somebody over the computer and to get their medical work done, unless they really have to see a physician, but being able to talk and have a discussion with your physician over the computer, which helps save miles, saves travel, and et cetera. And so again, in those instances where you need to go and see a doctor, you can do that. That's that aspect. Looking at our marketing capabilities, we have a tremendous community here. But I've always said that it's one of the best kept secrets in the U.S. You see a number of other areas across the U.S. where they've been able to market their areas in a good fashion, whereby they're bringing in tourists, they're bringing in different enthusiasts who are enjoying the area, and as a result, the economy within that particular region sees positive benefits. Again, those are possibilities with this capability to be able to market, to be able to do what we're doing here, putting video and streaming.
That's right.
Things across the internet.
We want to be seen on even bigger screens.
Exactly.
Right. There you go. But all that, and that's all the future, and the PRC, I think, recognizes that.
They recognize that, and they see where do we need to go with this. And not only are we looking at funding, but, you know, what kind of policy or what type of legislation do we need that will help with the enhancement of rural broadband development?
Right, because that's not maybe as always profitable as it is to have internet service and wiring all these homes together like in a more urban environment. If you've got a string of wire or put up a tower and provide internet service to maybe 15 families, a lot different than if you're in the middle of a city and you can hit maybe 50 families.
Exactly. And so again, how do we begin to address those types of issues to help our internet providers in a way so that they see benefit in setting up and maintaining this type of connection in a rural setting?
Right.
And so again, those are some of the things that we're looking at, because, you know, we're talking about things like not only medicine, but educational. You know, number of high schools now are moving to the point to where you do your homework online. And here in San Juan College, that's what they do. And they even provide hotspots for students living out in the rural areas who don't have access to the internet, yet they provide them hotspots to allow them to do their work,
right,
do their homework, do their projects and et cetera on the line, online as with other students. And so those are things that we're beginning to utilize, but if we don't have that connection, we will not be able to take advantage of some of those things that other communities are able to.
Sure. And you know more than the rest of us how competitive it is out there, right? As you're competing with other states, other regions that maybe have some of this stuff raring to go or have a plan, and the PRC again is trying to look at 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, and as you compete with others for maybe new business investments and job creation and things like that, having reliable, fast, expandable internet service has got to be a prerequisite. I mean, you can't start a conversation without
it. Because as you look at business, we have a number of professionals out there now who are doing business from home.
Right.
Call location neutral. They may be... for instance,
if I could do this show in my bathrobe and my pajamas every morning, I would do it. But I can't. We haven't figured that out yet. We haven't figured out a way to do that yet.
But yes. You know, you look at things like cybersecurity and things of that nature, where people are located in different parts of the country, but they connect in, and they're able to do their job and promote their business through a neutral position where they're located in some area of the country, yet they don't have to be in an office setting there, and they can still get their job done because now they have not only the capabilities of communicating through the computer, but they have video capability and they have voice capability, and so they can conduct face-to-face type of transactions utilizing the internet on the different types of services available through through broadband.
Were you positive, I guess, about the outcome of this conference? Did you feel pretty good walking away from it, that there was a lot of good ideas shared and some good support from the PRC for this corner of the state?
I think there was. I felt good about the support. There's a lot of questions still.
Okay.
There are challenges that we see. But I think what I was really encouraged by was the fact that we were able to bring people from different venues into one setting and actually start having those discussions. And the PRC was looking at not only the collaborative effort, but how do we work through that competitiveness that we have a tendency to look at and come together as a collective group to say, this is what we think would be in the best interest of the Four Corners. You know, how do I work with other entities, whether they be tribal communities, non-tribal communities, you know, how other states, especially here in the Four Corners.
Right.
How do we begin to do that? And how do we begin to really open doors so that we're able to identify new opportunities that would help enhance everybody's benefit here in the Four Corners area? And so those were some of the things that we were looking at, just focusing on Northwest New Mexico, but saying, you know, how do we begin to address this? And what do we do to help enhance rural development? Because I think that's where Congressman Lujan is coming from, because he noted in his address that there are other areas across the U.S. that are just like the Four Corners that don't have that type of access to the internet. And he was saying, could this be an area where we learn, we develop, and we begin to utilize this possibly as a pilot to say, here's how the Four Corners did it. Can this be applied to other parts of the U.S. to achieve that connectivity that they also need as rural communities in those regions of the U.S.?
Interesting. And again, I know the PRC, their focus is certainly just on the state of New Mexico.
Yes.
Here, we certainly have a little bit broader view because of the really codependent economy that we have between Southwest Colorado and even Northeast Arizona and Southeastern Utah. I mean, we know that there are people that cross the state lines to work, to shop, to go to school, whatever the case may be. It's a very interdependent infrastructure.
Yeah, it is. And again, it's looking at how do we look at this new opportunity and develop the boundaries as well as develop policy and legislation to help direct how we want to do this. Because again, it's a new area, it's a new feel, and the rules here or the circumstances here in rural America are much different than in the municipalities across the nation. And so as you indicated, there are certain advantages with the municipalities here in the U.S., but how can we kind of level that playing field so that folks in rural America are not losing out on those opportunities, looking at health or looking at business or looking at industrial development or looking at education or any number of these areas? You know, how can we promote that development for this region?
Some really important conversations that are being held. I want to ask you too about something else that I know you are working on, and that is Four Corners Economic Development and others, and that is trying to talk about the petrochemical industry and what it could bring to San Juan County as we talk about providing new jobs and new employment opportunities and economic development for the region. And this is something that Forsed is working very hard on, correct?
That it is. Again, we are on the very, very preliminary stages of this. But what we're looking at is seeing what we can do to utilize our natural gas and transform that the raw natural gas that we're producing into a value-added product. One of the things that's been identified is possibly utilizing that natural gas to transform that into polyethylene pellets,
okay,
which are used for the production of plastics. And plastics We're not talking plastic bags or anything like this. We're talking about industrial type plastics, you know, PVC pipe, those types of equipment and supplies that are now generated.
Right.
But we're looking right now in, and we're in very preliminary discussions as San Juan County, as Forrest said, with the Navajo Nation, looking at one, can we possibly locate or develop some possible industrial sites where a plant could be located here in Northwest New Mexico. And given that an old, a continued issue we've talked about, could this be a catalyst to help us move the rail discussion forward?
Right.
Because again, you have a value added product being developed here. Can that be a catalyst to help us continue to look at rail development here from the Four Corners to the I-40 corridor? So we're in the preliminary discussions with the Navajo Nation on this. Maybe in a couple months or so, I can come back and we can really talk a little bit more about that. And quite frankly, if we are making some headway, I'd like to bring some other folks with me.
Yeah, I hope you will.
To talk about that.
Please
and
do.
Give their insights in terms of looking at San Juan County as well as even the Navajo Nation and what we're seeing some of the results that we're looking at that point. But we are moving in that direction, and these things are really there's something that I feel somewhat passionate about. I want to see the Four Corners prosper, grow, and develop. I grew up here. I went to school at Kirtland.
Right.
I really see some opportunities because, again, we are in some challenging times. But, again, as I've indicated, a lot of times those challenges can move into opportunities if you look at it in the right way. And with that, Scott, also would like to invite folks out there. I've got the Foresight organization, Four Corners Economic Development. We've got our membership meeting coming up on August 21st. And
okay.
It'll be at the Quality Center for Business here at San Juan College. And there, I'm going to be presenting what we're looking at as far as Four Corners Economic Development is concerned. What direction are we going to be going? What are we seeing as some of the priorities out there? And what are we going to be doing? And how do we see us partnering with our business owners out there, with our civic and that our different organizations out there in order to work together to really figure out how do we really tackle this idea of economic development, given that a major economic driver in the region is transitioning.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know if they're going to close or not, but they are transitioning, both coal as well as oil and gas. And so given that backdrop, what's our plan B? Where do we go from here?
Right. And it is a scary proposition for a lot of folks because that has been kind of the go-to to depend on in all these, in our recent history. I mean, even in the boom times of oil and gas, the coal and the mines and the power plants have been here to kind of even out some of that ups and downs of the energy industry. And now both are seemingly at a turning point.
Yeah.
And we definitely know what's going on in the coal conversations, and oil and gas again is another one. So folks are concerned. Petrochemicals is one area I know. Agriculture and tourism. We've talked about outdoor recreation. Some of these other things that the city and the Convention and Visitors Bureau is working on, I think with your help as well,
mm-hmm.
are all things that that people are talking about to kind of diversify the economy. The question, I guess, comes back to your job is, how do you replace some of these high-paying, highly skilled jobs with jobs of a similar caliber? Because not all of the jobs are a one-to-one match.
Again, and that's where we're looking and seeing how we can do this. A part of it will be looking at our own workforce. That's why I'm really interested in workforce development and how
right.
do we begin to enhance that. The other piece is having the necessary infrastructure in place, like broadband, like regional transportation, like having access to land and areas where you can look at industrial sites. We're going to have to tackle water at some point in time. you know, there are a number of things that we got to do, but that doesn't say they're not impossible. But we've got some challenges that we've got to do, because the idea here is, how do we prepare ourselves so that as we move forward, now we have something to sell as we look at the recruitment of new industry. And what that new industry may be, I don't know. But, you know, we got to take a look and see, how do we prepare ourselves and basically plant the seeds so that we have some fertile ground here that we can then go to new industry or new business entities and say, you know, would you be willing to consider Four Corners as a possible area to come and locate? And so, again, those are some of the things that we're looking at. We've enjoyed the benefits of the fossil fuel efforts here in the Four Corners for decades. I grew up in this.
Right.
I can remember the El Paso camps and how large those camps used to be. I can remember working for then Utah International, then BHP, when we had three operating coal mines in the area, both feeding the four units at San Juan Generating Station and the five units at Four Corners Power Plant. I can remember when we had the Pittsburgh Midway Mine over next to Window Rock operating and supplying coal to Cholla and Springerville. I remember the construction of the operations over in Pruitt, Escalante Plant. And then because you had the plant, you were able to develop the paper mill. And all those things have happened because of our fossil fuel development. But all that's changing. So how do we go to the next level? And how do we do so in a manner that we are working at this together? And, you know, we should look at this as a challenge, not fear it, but look at it as a challenge to say, okay, we've been able to make a lot of inroads at this point. We've got this in front of us. How do we move forward from here?
Right.
So that's kind of where we're at right now. And so got a lot of faith in the people here. I've grew up with a lot of them. And I know there's a lot of smart people out there. And that's what we're looking at, is how do I bring this collective intelligence together to look at this and figure out how do we do it? Because as we were talking a little bit earlier before, nobody's going to do it for us.
No, that's true, right? We really have to do it
on our own. We have to do it on our own, because
right?
Who better than us? You know, we know this area. We know how we want to see our communities develop. We know what is important to us. And so who better to begin to shape the direction of our future than ourselves?
Right. I want to ask you just one final thing, and it may be opening up to a longer conversation. Maybe we'll have that next month. But I know you've been following the Public Service Company of New Mexico and their abandonment plans for the San Juan Generating Station. And I think you were at that meeting.
Yes.
I know I was
at
that meeting. And so, but a lot of folks seem really disappointed that PNM's plan to replace the power from the San Juan Generating Station, while it includes their preferred plan, they had four options. Preferred plan included some natural gas, but then a couple of solar installations. But the solar in their preferred plan were just over the border in neighboring McKinley and Rio Riba counties. And nothing against those communities, they're great, but I think a lot of folks were hoping those could be located here to maybe try to keep some of the tax base and maybe some of those jobs here in San Juan County. And I imagine you were just disappointed as the rest of us.
Well, again, you know, we want to keep as many of those jobs in the area as possible. And again, what I'm looking at is, that's why I'm looking at this on a regional aspect. Because as we begin to develop and grow and look at our diversity, how do we include our neighboring partners?
Right.
Whether they be Rio Riba, McKinley, even La Plata in Colorado, Montezuma, San Juan in Utah, Apache County. I mean, we're all looking at how do we begin to help our particular areas? How do we help the constituents within our particular regions to have the opportunity to stay home, to earn a nice living, and to contribute to our areas? And, you know, you look at the Navajo, the Southern Ute, the Ute Mountain Ute, they want the same thing too. And so again, I am disappointed about that, but again, it also started me looking at that aspect of how do we come together to begin to build on that and not get caught up in this aspect of competitiveness or this aspect of drawing the boundaries and saying, well, this is yours and this is mine, and make it into a win-lose proposal. Are there ways that we can come together to look at it more on a win-win basis and come up with new ideas to enhance our overall capabilities and look to these companies to become partners with us to help enhance our capabilities to develop that plan B and to move on after they're gone? Because I've been fortunate. I've lived with it for the last 50 years in this area. As long as I was in elementary school, I can remember the Four Corners Power Plant.
Right.
And well, so that's where I see things at this point.
We're all in this together, is what I hear you saying.
Yes.
All right. Arvin Trujillo, always a pleasure. Thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate it, and thank you for having me.
You bet. We'll see you in a month.
Yes.
Okay. Arvin Trujillo, he is the Executive Director of Four Corners Economic Development, my guest here on KSJE. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.